Hi, and welcome to episode 15 of the Four Seasons Podcast. My name is Mike Oliver.
And I'm Rachel Oliver.
And it's finally here. It is Christmas week. You will probably be hearing this episode on December 21st.
Yes.
We were a little late last week because we actually hired on an editor.
Yes, we did.
We have agreed to turn... I know it's not correct to talk about money, but we are paying Steve. Shout out Steve. Steven Davis. We are paying him $0 annually. he has agreed out of the goodness of his heart to edit our podcast since he went to school about it and we know nothing about.
And he says you guys sound horrible. Just kidding.
Well, he didn't say we sound great. That's okay. We want to just...
We appreciate him.
Yeah, we want to shout him out and let him know that as soon as we start making money, you will start making money.
Exactly.
In the meantime, let's go ahead and start the show.
Sounds good.
All right, so starting off with our sports nuggets.
Do we want to do sports nuggets or trivia first?
Oh, yeah. Starting off with trivia.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. So this week's trivia is, who is the heaviest player in NFL history? Again, who is the heaviest player in NFL history? I'll let you ponder on that, and we shall come back to it.
All right, now we'll move on to sports nuggies. Okay, so when we do sports nuggets, usually what I really like to happen is for a nugget to come about naturally. I like something to happen, which leads to something else, which leads to me doing research. It sounds really neat and professional. And sometimes they just randomly drop in your lap and they have no correlation.
Yeah.
So to start, I will start with a little something I found out this week that I thought was really interesting. So Canadiens Hall of Fame goalie Jacques Plante, and you can look him up, won the Stanley Cup with the Montreal Canadiens 5 times in a row.
Oh.
And okay. For those of you who don't know, the Stanley Cup is awarded, obviously, to the winner of the Stanley Cup playoffs in the NHL every year. And after a victor is declared, they engrave their name on the cup. 5 consecutive years, he wins the Stanley Cup with the Canadiens. 5 consecutive years, they spell his name differently. There's not one time his name is spelled
the same.
The same. And there's actually a point where it looks like whoever the engraver is just gives up because they just put J. Plant. And keep in mind, this isn't just some dude.
Yeah.
This is a Hall of Fame goalie, one of the greatest goalies to ever play the game. He's kind of credited with starting the playing outside the crease, which you see a lot of goalies today, you kind of take it for granted. But back in the day, goalies used to just sit in the net and wait for the action to come to him. But he was known for sitting back and calling out what he was seeing and directing his teammates, because you can see the whole rink when you're back behind the play. He's also one of the first goalies to ever start wearing a mask on a consistent basis.
Oh.
Which is, seems just psychotic that you would
not wear a mask.
Not wear a mask with that little rubber disc flying.
Yeah, but it's also frozen too, so it's super.
Well, I don't know if it's frozen.
Do they not freeze the pucks right before?
No.
Oh. Was that just a myth? I was always...
I didn't even think it's a myth. I think it's something you believed.
I always heard or was told that they were frozen before...
By who?
I don't remember. It was years ago. I don't remember.
Don't say your dad.
No.
That guy is built for tropical climates. So he doesn't know about freezing anything except for margaritas, maybe.
Boom
roasted.
No, I don't think he did tell me. I just... Maybe I just thought it.
There is an act which they call freezing the puck. Mm-hmm. But that's where if the goalie takes possession of the puck and he just holds on to it, then they stop play.
Oh, I thought they actually like froze it before the game so that way it slides better on the ice. I don't know.
No, you don't need that to be frozen to slide on ice. It's a rubber, little black rubber disc, and it slides just fine on the ice.
Well, then I stand corrected. But go ahead. Anyways.
I
lost your train of thought.
A little bit.
Okay.
Do you have a nugget you want to throw in while I gather my notes again? Yeah,
can we just, for a brief second, talk about Brady last night?
Tom?
Yes, Tom Brady. And...
like we'd be talking about another Brady.
Oh, no, I wouldn't.
Does anybody want to talk about Brady Quinn?
But that he got shut out for the first time in 15 years. And, I mean, it was a low-scoring game anyway, so it wasn't, like, a huge shutout. But I guess a shutout is a shutout.
Shutout is a shutout.
So, I mean, if anyone doesn't know, it was 9-0, the Saints won.
In Tampa Bay.
So it was the first time that Brady lost, but he was very bitter about it.
Not the first time he lost.
Not the first time he lost, but first time he's been shut out in 15 years. But he was very bitter about it. Throwing tablets, going over to the Saints sidelines, started yelling at them. And I mean, we've been trying to give Brady the benefit of the doubt. We've been trying to talk good about him and everything. And then he does this. And my point is that if anyone else did that in the NFL, they would be called a drama queen or, you know, trying to get attention, being, you know. But when he does it, it's passion of the game.
Wow.
Am I just wrong of thinking that?
a couple things. One, I think there are still plenty of people who call him a drama queen.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who hate Tom Brady. And second, I think you're right, but I also think he's earned it. He's shown he's a competitor just by still playing at a high level at age 44.
Yeah, but and I get you have every right to be upset, but and I guess different aspects, like the media could be taking it out of proportion and blowing it up to make it look like he's blowing up. But
I think he is blowing up. I think
at the same time,
I think it is.
You just have to accept the fact that the other team came to play, and so, I mean, so did you, but you have to also accept the fact that you lose. You do, there are times where you lose a game, where you do get shut out. It's not, you're not guaranteed to win every week.
No, but I think that's part of being a competitor is wanting that badly to win every week. You're right in the sense that if it was anybody else, it would, but since it's Tom Brady, it's
just passed off.
Well, yeah. Like I said, he's kind of earned that right. When you say it's because he's Tom Brady, well, yeah, that's why he's kind of earned it, because he is Tom Brady. I did see, though, piggybacking off of that, you know, Peyton Manning was never shut out in his career.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that.
And neither was Drew Brees. Although,
how many times has Tom Brady been shut out?
Three.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Which, if you have 3 times you've been shut out and you've won 7 Super Bowls, meh.
Yeah. Sure. Anyways, did you figure out what your other sports nugget was?
Yeah. I actually, we were rich in sports nuggies this week. Mm. Had a listener, my friend, Julia. Mm-hmm. Shout out, Julia. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
And thank you for sending this in and give us something else to talk about. Since I first, this beginning of this year is the first time I've heard about Scoregami. Mm-hmm. And so we had I would call it a semi-Scoregami.
Okay.
Because during the Bills-Panthers game, they went into halftime with the Bills ahead 17-8.
Okay.
It was the first time in NFL history that a game was 17-8 at halftime. Hmm. There was only one game where the final score was 17-8, and that was the Milwaukee Badgers defeated the Chicago Cardinals on November 8th, 1924, 17-8. Now, wow. The reason this game was 17-8 going into halftime is because During warm-ups, the Panthers kicker Zane Gonzalez hurt himself, so the Panthers had no kicker. So they scored, and they had to go for two because they had nobody to kick an extra point. Because in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't make a lot of sense to score a touchdown and then go for two. You don't really gain an advantage by having that one extra point in that in that scenario. The thing I love most about it is when it's not the Broncos or a team I'm rooting for, I love chaos. And I just love the idea of a team not having the kicker, so trying to have to figure out what to do with that.
Yeah.
It's just fun to watch.
You're like, they're scrambling around the field trying to figure out.
Yeah, I'm a little bit evil because I just...
It's okay.
That's what I want to see. If it's Bills and Panthers and you know the Bills are going to roll over the Panthers and they're clearly the better team, I just want that wrinkle to make it more interesting.
Yeah.
Last thing I got for you.
Okay.
So the Lions shocked pretty much everybody and beat the Cardinals.
With their second win.
For their second win of the season. The Lions are the first team with one win or fewer to beat a team with 10 wins or more by double digits in NFL history.
You said the first team or the second team?
First. To beat a 10-plus win team by double digits.
Wow.
So, fairly specific statistic, but you can kind of read through it.
Yeah.
That's another thing I enjoy, but sometimes I'm just wondering... I want the job to be the person who researches stuff for other people, because I've found... that during the podcast, we do a lot of research, so it'd be nice to make that a career. Because Patriots played the Colts on Saturday, and they go, Bill Belichick has faced, when he's gone into a game facing a running back who has already rushed for 1,000 yards on the season, he is 18-2. And it's like, who comes up with these statistics?
Yeah.
Who's sitting there going, hey, how does Bill Belichick do against running backs who've already hit 1,000 yards during the season? What's his record against them? Because he's been a coach for like 30 years.
Yeah.
So if you think about that, that's like less than a game a year that he faces a running back. Because, you know, it has to be late in the season to give the running back time to accumulate and get to 1,000 yards. And then does he win those games? It's just such a weird statistic.
That is.
It's interesting.
It is very interesting.
So.
Okay.
Did you have anything? Did you have any other?
No, that was it.
You got a mouthful of nuggets this week?
I did. Get a mouthful of nuggets. That's not the way I wanted it to go. But let's just...
Let's move on.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. So, as we mentioned at the top of the show, it... is the holiday season. Christmas is coming. And that, of course, means that the big man is coming.
Yes.
The big man being Santa Claus.
Hopefully.
Yeah. And by Santa... Well, spoiler alert, if you have kids in your car who are young or extremely naive, fast forward 30 seconds. Newsflash, Santa's not real. But... you know, who are real. Pro athletes who are big.
Yes.
And that's why we decided that was kind of a lame setup.
It's okay.
It sounded way better in my head.
It happens, but let's keep going.
Anyway, we thought Santa's a big guy. And so to seamlessly incorporate the holiday season into our Fab Five this week, we decided that we would do our Fab Five big men.
Yep. Big guys.
Big guys. Without further ado, I will go ahead and get us kicked off, if you're okay with that.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. Number five on my list is William the Refrigerator Perry.
Okay.
Obviously, he's a big guy.
Yep.
He's calling the refrigerator. William Perry played in the NFL from 1985 to 1994. He was a defensive tackle on the... 1985 Chicago Bears team that won it all, one of the most famous defenses in NFL history. Despite being a defensive tackle, he really didn't make that big of an impact in the NFL as a defensive player. He was more famous for Mike Ditka just being absolutely giddy with excitement at the idea of him running the football. There's actually a big, long story that goes behind it. Basically, the season before, the Bears played the 49ers in the playoffs, and the 49ers were soundly beating the Bears. And so their coach at the time, Bill Walsh, that name got stuck in my throat. Bill Walsh put in a defensive lineman and handed him the ball a couple times, and Ditka felt that he was showing the Bears up. So the next year, they were beating the 49ers pretty soundly, I believe, in the regular season. So he thought, I'm going to show him that I remember. And he put the fridge in and had him carry the ball. And then it kind of blossomed from there. He was a fan favorite. They really enjoyed, because there's nothing more fun than watching big guys run the football. It's just, it's fun to watch.
Yeah.
So he actually is still currently the heaviest player to score a touchdown in a Super Bowl. Yeah. And he also has the biggest ring size ever made for a Super Bowl ring, a size 25.
What?
Yeah.
Holy cow, I thought I had big fingers.
For context, because I didn't know this, the average men's size ring is about between a 10 and a 12.
That's what I was kind of thinking. That's why I was like, whoa.
Yeah. So.
Dang. Okay.
Well, go him. Yeah. Number five, William the Refrigerator Perry. Number four on my list, Bartolo Colon, a.k.a. Big Sexy.
Okay.
Yeah. He had a MLB career that spanned from 1997 to 2018. He's also the oldest player in MLB history to hit his first career home run. He was 42 years, 349 days on May 7th, 2016. He was playing for the Mets, hit a home run off against the Padres.
And how many years was he playing by that time?
This was in 2016, so he'd been in the majors almost 20 years.
Oh.
He's a pitcher, so.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So.
Give him that.
Yeah, pitchers hardly ever bat anyway, and he spent, he jumped between the American League and the National League, but, you know, the American League has a designated hitter, so. He's played for a lot of different teams, but played for the A's, the Angels, the Rangers, the team formerly known as the Indians.
So he played all over.
Yeah. He's just a lot of fun. There's some great highlights. I'm sure if you watch baseball highlights, you've seen there's a great highlight of him running a pitch down the first baseline and flipping it behind his back nonchalantly and getting the out. So he's just one of those guys for famous for having fun and a big guy.
It works.
Big Sexy. Number three on my list is Zdeno Chara. Now, Zdeno Chara is the tallest player in NHL history. 6'9".
Yeah. He was going to be on my list.
Was going to? Is he still?
No.
No?
But anyways, well, you know, that's a different topic.
Yeah.
So let's go.
Let's go. 6'9", 250. Usually I feel like when you think of hockey players, you think of small, fast, athletic, agile guys. Obviously, he's a big lumbering dude. He was a defenseman.
Yeah.
Pretty famous for his hits and getting into fights. But he wasn't just a big lug. He did win the Norris Trophy in 2009. He was a captain for the Boston Bruins. He won a Stanley Cup with them in 2011. He's a six-time All-Star. So he's got some skill. And he's also a giant.
A giant. There's someone who is 6'7", and they're the second tallest in NHL history.
It wasn't Chris Pronger, was it?
I honestly can't remember the name.
Okay.
To be fair.
Chris Pronger is also a great, great defenseman, but he's not on my list. It's all about Zdeno Chara. Number two, Shaquille O'Neal.
Okay.
Shaquille O'Neal, Shaq Diesel, the big Aristotle, is 7'1", 324 pounds, and he wears a size 23 shoe.
Whew.
Yeah.
Dang. I'm just thinking about my foot next to his foot.
You You could probably sit in one of his shoes.
Could be like a boat.
Yeah.
If I ever get stuck.
If there's ever a ship that's sinking, just try to find one of Shaquille O'Neal's shoes.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my gosh. I'm trying to talk. Shaquille O'Neal's shoes. It's one of those like tongue exercises that you do before you speak.
Yeah. It's just, I'm just still picturing it because my little shoe compared to your shoe and then, but just think about it.
Yeah.
Anyways, go ahead. More on Shaquille O'Neal.
Well, I just am going to comment more about how much I've grown to love Shaquille O'Neal. Obviously, he's one of the most dominant players to ever play in the NBA. He won 4 championships, you know.
He seems like an all-around good guy.
Yeah, nice guy. He's got his foot in so many different, his big size 23 feet. Yeah. In so many different, you know, he's an actor, he's a comedian, he's a businessman,
he's done a lot.
He's done a lot. He's great on Inside the NBA. He's really intelligent too. I think that's he's got a doctorate.
Oh wow!
He graduated with a doctorate from LSU.
Oh.
I love watching him talk business. He's just, it's incredible. Because I think, just being perfectly honest, you think about athletes like that in general, especially big athletes, you think big dummies. All they know how to do is play ball.
Yeah.
But he's such a savvy businessman. And he made a ton of money in his career because he was a great player, so he signed big fat contracts. But you think about when you turn on the TV, how many commercials have Shaquille O'Neal in them?
Almost every few.
Yeah. Another guy that I think he's a lot like, and another person I love, is Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. These guys are smart guys who are talented athletes, but they... And Shaq has also admitted in one of my favorite interviews, he talks about he got $1 million. And so he's like, I got $1 million. So he goes out and buys himself a new Mercedes-Benz, spends $250.
Yeah.
Then his dad's like, well, where's mine? So he takes him and goes and buys him one. And his mom's like, oh, you're going to leave me out? So then he takes his mom and goes buys his. And then he's in the negative because he doesn't think about taxes and things like that. And so he talks about how he gets in a business advisor. And now I'm pretty sure he's worth over $400 million.
Oh, I mean, probably easily.
Yeah. But he does seem he seems like one of the most genuine...
Yeah.
Genuine people I've seen.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to just hang around him. Like, he just seems that kind of personable.
I think what we'll do, this is my plan, honestly.
Okay.
We want to, you know where this is going. the loyal listeners know where this is going too. I'm going to go there anyway.
Okay.
I'm driving this car till it breaks down.
Okay.
And then once the car breaks down, I'm going to get out of the car. I'm going to get on that horse. I'm going to ride that horse until it dies.
Okay.
And then I'll find a bicycle.
And ride that till it
until my legs fall off.
Oh, your legs fall off. I was saying the
bicycle. And then I'll walk on my hands.
Okay.
And then once my hands stop working, I'll use my tongue.
No,
And I'll slowly pull my tongue, you know.
Are we going to get to your number one pick?
We will eventually.
Okay.
Let's remember this is our podcast / my podcast.
Let's just keep going.
Okay. What I was going to say.
Yes.
Get a hold of some mobiles.
Okay.
And this is going to be great because we have two athletes who are the best at what they do. And they're at opposite ends of the height spectrum.
Yes, they are.
So we take 4'8" Simone Biles. We put her on 7'1" Shaquille O'Neal's shoulders. We have one super athlete. We combine them into a superhuman.
Okay.
And then we have them hang Christmas lights.
Okay.
Merry Christmas. Tie it together. Put a bow on it. Throw it under the tree. Do not open till December 25th.
Okay. Very nice. I like it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Number one.
Number one.
Is, of course... All right, I'm not going to act like... When we were hashing out our ideas for big men, I was throwing out some ideas to Rachel to kind of help with her list. And she goes, I can't believe you didn't say David Ortiz. And I was like, oh my gosh, David Ortiz, Big Papi, which is Spanish for Big Dad.
I mean, he's big in both ways, tall and
And you know where he's the where he's the biggest?
On the baseball field.
Yeah, where the lights are the brightest. Most clutch player in MLB history. Don't come at me. I don't care. If you disagree, you can send your disagreements to
the4seasonspod@gmail.com.
And I will put them in the trash can because your opinions are trash if you don't think Big Papi is the most clutch to ever do it. 541 career home runs, 1,768 runs batted in, 2013 World Series MVP, 3-time World Series champion.
Yeah. I mean.
And he's another guy who just seems like so much fun.
Yeah, he really does.
Big Papi doesn't take anything too seriously.
No.
Except for
baseball.
Except for clutch at-bats. Yeah. Other than that, has a good time. I love watching him give it to Alex Rodriguez because Alex Rodriguez is the worst.
Yeah.
I can't wait to do it. We try to stay positive with our Fab Fives, but if we ever do a Fab Five of worst human beings, Alex Rodriguez might be number one on my list. Mm-hmm. That guy is the worst.
Yeah, I know.
And I know I talk a big game, and if people I say I don't like, if they ever approach me, I'd probably pretend that I'd like them because they are who they are.
Yeah.
I would not do that to Alex Rodriguez, because he is the worst.
Kind of.
I've taken this a little bit off the rails.
Yes.
See, I got on the train.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But then the train went off the track.
Okay.
But I stayed in the train, and it was off the rails.
Okay.
And then we went into the river, and I got out, and I was swimming.
Okay. Let me go for mine since before we get way off topic.
Okay.
Okay. So mine.
So, honey, what's your Fab Five?
My fifth.
I'm sorry I always step on you.
Can I?
I'll try to stop doing it from now on. You're giving me that look now. Okay, your Fab Five.
Yao Ming, standing at 7'6" tall. His parents were both professional basketball players. His mom was 6'3", and his dad was 6 foot. Or is 6'7".
Well, he might be smaller now.
What I'm saying. He retired in 2011 with persistent ankle pain and foot pain, as most tall people do have. my number fourth pick was Randy the Big Unit Johnson. He stands at 6'8". He was.
He's only 6'8"?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow, I thought he was taller. Sorry.
MLB player who played 22 seasons with the most of his career for Seattle Mariners and the Arizona Diamondbacks. He is in the top five lists of most successful left-handed pitchers with a total of 4,875 career strikeouts. I would say my number three pick is Robin Lehner with the Vegas Golden Knights goalie. He stands at 6'4", but he is 250 pounds. They say he's big due to his BMI, and he looks bigger with his pads on, but he's still able to move about the goal so much where he saves about 95% of his goals scored against him. So.
It's a 95%.
Yeah. My number two pick would be Nate Newton, former Dallas Cowboy offensive lineman, standing at 6'3" and 400 pounds. What?
Just 6'3", 400. That guy is probably about as tall wide as he is tall.
Yeah. In the 80s and 90s, his nickname was The Kitchen at the time that he played. Yeah.
See, I had the refrigerator, but you had the whole kitchen.
I got the whole kitchen. He won 3 Super Bowls, earned 6 Pro Bowls, 2 All-Pro selections throughout his 17-year career. Now.
Sorry, before you go on, I just want to. I want to comment on that because one of the funniest things I've ever seen is they talk about, if anybody's ever watched the America's games that the NFL does, they have like 3 players come back from a team that won the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were talking about him, some of the Cowboys players, and I have the same problem being a big man myself, is your pants are always sliding down because your big old guts pushing them down. So they talked about the funniest thing ever was watching Nate Newton block, play over, stop, pull up your pants, tighten your belt. Next play. You get down to your 3-point stance. Hike, block, plays over, pull up your pants. So, I get it. I do.
You're like, I do. So, my number one pick is a big man.
A big man.
Tall, wide, hefty, just a big man. And that is Andre the Giant.
Oh my gosh. I am so mad I didn't think of Andre the Giant. Oh, that is a good one.
So, Andre Rene Rusimov, I'm guessing, suffered from acromegaly, or also known as giantism. He appeared as Andre the Giant at Madison Square Garden in 1973 after being Jean Ferrer in Montreal and Monsieur Rosenmoff in Japan. He was 6'3" tall, ready, at the age of 12. And I believe, I mean, I thought I put this in, I apologize, but he was 200 pounds at that time. At his biggest, he was 6'11" and weighed just over 500 pounds. Like that. That's why I said talk about a big man. That's tall and wide. Tall and stout.
And you know what? He was...
He's no little teapot, that's for sure.
No, and he... There's so many great stories. Ric Flair claims he once saw him drink 156 beers.
Jeez. And in one sitting?
In one sitting. Yeah. He was so big. I mean, the way he drank is legendary. Yeah. There's... Oh, and... Just off the top of my head, I can't remember too many specifics. If somebody remembers the specifics and they want to tweet at us.
At the Four Seasons Pod C.
There is a story about him getting so drunk that he, on the way to the elevators, collapses. Boom! Lets out the biggest burp. And then just lays there. And he's with other wrestlers and the hotel manager is like, well... What are we going to do? And the wrestlers were like, leave him there.
Yeah.
Well, you got a forklift somewhere?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, there's no way I'd know.
Andre the Giant is one of the coolest dudes. Love him in The Princess Bride, by the way.
Yeah.
Great movie.
Great movie.
He's like, oh, man. It's unfortunate because he's passed away, but he would probably be somebody... It was probably a blast to hang out with.
That would be fun.
He just seems like such a cool guy.
Yeah. Anyway, so those are big men.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was a good one.
Especially you came to play for this one.
I did come to play.
Yeah. I dropped the ball a little bit.
No.
But all right.
Let's move on.
All right. All right. And obviously this is our last episode before Christmas. Mm-hmm. So we knew we had to double up on the Fab Fives this week.
Yep.
And we're going to come at you with our Fab Five Christmas cookies.
Yes. And the reason why we did cookies was because we did the big men. So we figured... The big guy, Santa, eats cookies. Why not? And now hopefully it now makes sense why I had that trivia question earlier, by the way.
Yes.
So we'll get to that in a minute, but let's do our Fab Five Christmas cookies.
I wanted to tell a story real quick.
Okay.
So when I was growing up, there was this commercial that came out, and I looked it up prepping for this episode, and... I thought it was a specific... It's just cheese. It's a commercial for cheese.
Okay.
You know, there's a commercial for, like, eat beef.
Yeah.
It was cheese. And so in this commercial, this little girl comes downstairs, grabs her parents, and she's like, look. And they show their living room, and there's, like, a new car and a train set, and it's just loaded from top to bottom with presents. The dad goes, boy, those must have been some cookies, huh? And she's like, I didn't give Santa cookies. I gave him cheese. So, I was a young, impressionable... Yeah.
So you left Santa some cheese 1 year.
A few years. In a row, trying to butter him up. And now, being a parent and knowing what I know, like I said, spoiler, Santa's not real. I'm Santa now. Like, my parents watching me put out the cheese, like, oh.
Like, really?
Like, we're going to have to make sure we hide that in the trash.
Yeah. And, or, like, just think about, like, what time you went to bed.
Oh, I know. I put it out at, like, 7 o'clock like, and didn't go to bed until like, midnight. Like,
leaving it out.
Yeah, and it was just, it was, like, soft and warm.
Yeah. I don't,
And I'm trying to think back because I don't remember. I think it was fancier cheese, and I'm sure it went to waste. But now I'm like, was
there... Oh, what kind of cheese you put out?
Yeah, like I'm sure we had some fancy, like, block cheese that I put out, because I was like, that's the kind of cheese Santa's talking about. But I'm also pretty confident that I wasted all of our good cheese, and we finally... Yeah, that's it. That's the one.
Sorry, I was looking it up, and...
Yeah. So, I'm pretty sure there were years where I just put out, like, Kraft singles,
mm-hmm.
which is just the worst, to, especially just to leave out.
To leave out, well, sometimes they might not go bad, you never know.
Yeah, well, that's true, that Kraft cheese probably would never go bad.
Anyway, so let's not leave cheese, that's a...
We'll make sure that those, one, the boys never see that commercial, and two... Maybe we'll read them these our lists,
right?
So they have an idea of what kind of cookies Santa likes.
Yes, that's always a plus.
They are asleep, right?
I think so. Hopefully,
man.
But yeah, let's. Do you want me to go first since you started the big men?
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
So my number 5 Christmas cookie is the Snickerdoodle. This popular cookie took off back in 1891.
Is that before the invention of the Snicker bar? Probably.
Let me go for that.
All right.
It seemed that the Dutch/German immigrants brought them over. And for that, I am very thankful, by the way. The standard recipe has only had a few minor tweaks throughout history. But the most notable one would be in the 30s. That went from a bar... to the actual cookie. So there you go.
Well, there you go.
Number 4 are the M&M cookie bars. So, kind of like the with the M&Ms, and they're just in a pan, but you cut them up into little bars. Those are some ooey gooey goodness right there.
I like how you said they were M&M cookie bars, and then you expanded by just explaining that they were M&M cookie bars. Well,
I really can't find anything on it, but I mean...
That's okay. Sometimes with these lists, you do want to give people as much information as you can, and sometimes it is what it is.
It's like that one that I keep seeing where it's the newscasters, and they're like, 10 people died in a fire. It's the firemen said that no one survived out of the fire. There were 10 people dead.
Yeah. It's like when your essay says it needs to be 500 words and you're at 400.
So you just make random stuff up?
Yeah.
Anyways, going off my gooey, chewy deliciousness, my number 3 pick would be the peanut butter blossoms.
Blossoms.
I love these ones as well. These originated in Gibsonburg, Ohio in 1957.
Yes. That is spot on. There is no way I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm so sorry.
There's no way what?
That these weren't invented by some housewife in the Midwest is what I was going to say. I apologize.
You're good. This was for a Pillsbury Bake Off contest. The Kisses were used in place of chocolate chips, but due to the size, they were just placed on top. Here's another fun fact. They were also originally named Black Eyed Susans. But then later had to be renamed.
What an awful name!
So, the year later... Pillsbury took it over. Kind of just changed it into Pillsbury Peanut Butter Blossom. Ever since then, that's... But it's been so original that it actually made it into the Cookie Hall of Fame.
There's a Cookie Hall of Fame?
Cookie Hall of Fame. Going off of that, my number two pick would be the classic chocolate chip cookies. The original recipe created in 1938 by Ruth Wakefield's, who also ran the famous Tootle House restaurant, which was located in Whitman, Massachusetts.
It was in France. Nestlé Toulouse.
Nestlé Toulouse. This was so popular that it was on Betty Crocker's influential radio program at the time. And since then, the reputation got America's go-to cookie.
Yep.
my number one pick. Do you want to take a guess?
I don't know. I'm kind of I feel like... Well, actually, chocolate chip wasn't number one on mine either. So I gotta tell you, I'm lost. I don't know.
It was
yes, I do know. I do know. It's a sugar cookie.
It is a sugar cookie. Supposedly, the sugar cookie dates back to the 1700s when cultivation of sugar started by the Protestant settlers.
Protestants.
Thanks, I'm a little tired. You're Protestant settlers of the Nazareth colony in Pennsylvania.
They weren't Protestant?
No, they weren't Protestant. I do have to say my top three are a hard choice. Those would be... If anyone brings me, like, a cookie platter with all of these on... See, I might even have to switch up the chocolate with the peanut butter. The chocolate chip cookie with the peanut butter blossom. To be honest. If I'm looking at a cookie platter... I'd go for the peanut butter blossom and the sugar cookie. But I feel like I just had to put the chocolate chip cookies in at number two because they're such a classic.
Where would you put them if they were called Black Eyed Susan still?
Well, before that, I'd probably not even put them in my top five. Anyways, those were my Fab Five Christmas cookies.
Wow.
Do you have any Black Eyed Susans on your list?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Okay.
I gotta be honest, you're just kicking me up and down. Not that it's a competition, but your Fab Five, your first one on the Big Man was just fire.
Oh, thanks.
And the research you put into cookies.
Right? You do know I love my cookies, though.
I know.
So I wasn't... You know, I thought you wouldn't be surprised there, but...
I'm surprised how much you found.
And me too. The only thing I couldn't find was the M&M cookie bars that are just cookies and bars.
The M&M cookies bars. So what they are is basically it's like a bar, right?
Well, it's a cookie.
But then it's an M&M on top of it?
No, I'm saying it's a cookie smashed down into a bar that has a few layers. That's all I was trying to say. It just didn't come out that way. Anyways, let's go on. All
right. Well... See, look, that's my list.
It's okay, it happens.
Or I wrote them down. I was gonna talk about how they make me feel.
Okay. Didn't know cookies do that, but go ahead.
Oh, don't you even act like they don't make you feel things.
Let's just keep going. Shall we?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Number five, Oreo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, this... Mm-hmm. This is you can eat it at all times of the year.
Hmm.
But they change the color of the frosting in the middle to red, and bam, you got yourself a Christmas cookie.
Okay.
I love Oreos all the time.
Yeah.
So this is kind of like cheating a little bit almost.
That's why I was like, that's like a, but I, okay, I get the point with the red frosting.
Yeah, it's a loophole is what it is. Yeah,
okay.
They put little designs on it. They'll put snowmen, reindeer.
Mittens.
Yep. You know what...
I know.
You know what is associated with Christmas,
don't you? I know.
So, Oreos sneaking at the top five. They would have been higher, but I felt like let's not push it. All right? They're barely a holiday cookie. I'm sorry, I'm so boring. You should have seen the size of that yarn Rachel just had.
Let's keep going.
Coming in number four, a little low, but the classic chocolate chip cookie.
Mm.
Now... this might suffer from being the greatest for too long. Yeah. It's really like the Tom Brady of cookies. You're just tired of seeing the chocolate chip cookie on top. Is it great? Of course it's great. You can't deny its greatness. Does everybody know what the chocolate chip cookie is? Yes. Has the chocolate chip cookie destroyed a Microsoft Surface? No. When you use it after you don't wash your hands? Yes.
Yes.
So,
Little crummies in there?
No. Crummies? No crummies. So, number four, chocolate chip cookie. Number three for me is sugar cookie. Now, originally, I had two different sugar cookies. I had the frosted sugar cookie, and then I had just plain old sugar cookie, and I ousted the frosted because what I enjoy, and I know you enjoy too, and this is what I was getting at when I said it makes you feel things, is the level of excitement and giddiness you get when you see, and this is at Halloween is when they first come out, but just the little orbital sugar cookies that you get, and they're pre-cut, and you just slice them off, and they have the pumpkins on them, or they have the ghosts.
The Pillsbury ones.
Yes.
Let's specify.
Yes. Well, thank you for specifying.
You're welcome.
You just slot those on over to Christmas. They have the elf hat, or they have Rudolph's face. Probably.
Probably.
I don't know. So. I know they have an elf one, and that's...
Yeah, that was this year's.
That's good enough.
Yeah.
They taste great when you bake them. Mm-hmm. They taste equally good when you just eat them as is.
Yep.
Let's cut out the propaganda. Raw cookie dough does not give you salmonella. It's that our generation growing up, our parents were trying to stifle our fun as much as possible. They want you to want it. They want the anticipation to be there. They want to make you wait to eat a baked cookie. You don't have to wait for it to be baked. You can eat it raw. It's fine. Let's choose our words more carefully. Let's cut out the word raw. Let's just call it uncooked.
True.
Yeah.
Makes sense. I understand that.
Respect the cookie's pronouns. All right. That was probably a little bit too far for what we try to do here at the Four Seasons podcast, so I apologize. Number two, butter pecan meltaways. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This is a big result of where I work because they come in the metal red tin. And when I see those puppies show up, I know it's Christmas time.
It's Christmas season.
They do have a great flavor. I'm a big fan of butter pecan flavored things in general. I would say pecan pie is my favorite kind of pie. And so love these cookies. I love the powdered sugar around them. I love, they really are soft and they really do just melt in your mouth. They are fantastic.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's why they snuck all the way up to number two. Okay. Little dark horse coming in hot.
Yeah, I'm surprised by that. Well, ahead of me there for a minute.
Yeah. Well, I think this is an even bigger upset, especially as far as you're concerned. And that, of course, is number one, the Black-Eyed Susan. Now,
I'm not too upset about that. I totally understand.
You're okay with me calling him Black-Eyed Susan?
Maybe not that.
The peanut butter blossom.
Yes.
Let's get real here. It's not 1957 anymore. Yeah. That is one of the most awful names for things I've ever heard.
I saw that and I was like, should I put it? I was like, it's just too interesting not to put, though.
I'm so happy you did.
I was like,
Because, I mean, that just if you don't picture a 50s housewife in a white dress and an apron and just... Anyway.
Let's just keep going.
Yeah. They are. They really make me think of the holidays.
Yeah.
They remind me of growing up. They remind me of going to my great-grandparents' house, my grandparents' house. They're just incredible. You get the peanut butter base. You got the big Hershey's Kiss on top. I really like it when they do the peppermint kiss. That's like the red and white kiss. I think that's great. They do have just a mint one that's black and green. You can do all kinds of Hershey kisses on top, and it's just fantastic. So, Black Eyed Susan, Peanut Butter Blossom, number one.
Makes sense. I like it.
Yeah. All right. let's move on so we can go get some cookies.
Okay. So we're going to do trivia really quick. We'll go back to trivia. So the question was, who is the heaviest player in NFL history?
You know what? I'm really... I'm mad because I came across this name and I can picture them. I believe they played for the Colts, maybe the Lions. Mm-hmm. The Lions.
Lions.
And I can picture them because they are monstrous, but I do not remember this guy's name.
So it is former Lions offensive tackle Aaron Gibson. Yeah. His listed weight got as high as 4'10" during his playing career.
Jeez.
Gibson played for 6 years in the NFL. He played for the Lions, Cowboys, Bears, and Bills. He left the NFL in 2007 to go to the Austin Wranglers Arena Football League. Whew. So, I saw that. I was like, ooh, this is fitting. So,
you know, what's funny is when I came across, just to get a little out off topic, when I came across my Jacques Plante five times on the cup.
Uh-huh.
I was really excited to get that and throw it into Nuggets before you found out about it and then used it as a trivia question to embarrass me.
No.
You don't embarrass me. You don't try to embarrass me.
I don't try to.
No, but it happens because I can never get it. I've gotten one trivia question. I'm one for
15. You
said 15.
Two. A few episodes you said two. Two trivia questions, right?
Oh, maybe I've had some 2 for 15.
2 for 15.
I don't
Maybe want... 2 for 14, because I don't remember if we... I don't know, I think we did do for the very first episode.
Well...
2 for 15, 2 for 14.
I'm no mathematician, but that is a low percentage,
that
so...
That is a low percentage. But even... it's good, because here I thought you knew a lot about sports, which you still know.
I thought you knew a lot about sports. Boy, was I wrong.
No, I mean, you are very knowledgeable about sports. I am just glad I'm able to stump you.
On the regular.
Okay, maybe I'll try to ease up on the trivia questions a little.
No, don't make them harder. but seriously, like off camera, like, we'll get easier ones. Like, yeah.
Okay.
But no, I want to be challenged, and I will just be a better trivia question answerer.
Okay. And if anyone would like to send in a trivia question, you can do so at thefourseasonspod@gmail.com.
That's right. And hard ones.
Yes.
But try to, like, easy ones, because I'm struggling.
Okay.
All right. Let's move on. All right. And finally, as we like to end every episode, it's what we're looking forward to. Just reminding everybody, as we do every time we talk about this, it's the little things. Mm-hmm. You always got to find stuff to look forward to. You don't have to try very hard this week.
No.
Even if you don't celebrate Christmas, you can look forward to the fact that maybe every single business everywhere will be closed. So you can just enjoy a day to yourself.
Yeah, no errands. Don't run errands. Just...
Don't do it.
Yeah.
I am looking forward to the fact this is the first time since I started working that I've been off Christmas Eve.
Has it really?
Yeah.
Since you've started working at the age of 17?
Yes. Since I've started working, not a single Christmas Eve off.
I guess I haven't either, but mine's more not really fully planned either, though.
Yeah.
Huh. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Well, I told you about it, and I don't think he listened, so it doesn't matter, but my first ever boss. Actually, second ever. Because there was another guy running it when I first got hired.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right.
But he used to take advantage of the fact that I thought I had to be a hard worker, so he got to take every single holiday off. I worked Christmas Eve. I worked Thanksgiving Eve. I worked New Year's Eve. I worked New Year's Day. I worked Valentine's Day. I worked the 4th of July.
Yeah.
Didn't matter. So now I'm a little bit older. I'm a little bit smarter. Take better care of myself mentally.
Mm-hmm.
Well, try to. Working on it. Getting better.
But, that's what you can do.
Yeah. But we're we're excited. I actually have the 23rd off, too. Mm-hmm. So I have the 23rd, 24th, and 25th off.
Yep.
So I've only got, like...
2 more days?
2 more days of work, and then it's Christmas time.
Yeah.
We have, it's like... gonna be nice. Yeah, we have, like, one more present to wrap.
One more, and then we have, like, a few people asked us to wrap for them.
We still have more of those?
Just 2.
Okay. That's not bad.
No. So.
Not that we mind. I do love wrapping presents. Mm-hmm. Wrapping presents is zen.
Yeah.
I like to go at my own pace, as you found out.
I did. Yeah, I did.
Rachel and I took our daily wrap presents together, and she finished her pile, and I think I was about
We started at 3, and the funny thing was, we're like, okay, let's turn on a movie. First, we had lunch, and we're like, let's watch a movie that we've never really seen before. Okay, we did that. And then we started, like, okay, now let's get to wrapping. Let's turn on a movie we've seen multiple times.
100 times.
And let's start wrapping, so that way we don't get distracted. Sure enough, who is sitting right... when I say right in front of the TV like a little kid, I mean right in front of the TV like a little kid. Like, looking at one of those old stereo or TV box or box TVs, you know, like looking up at the TV, like when you're 5. That's what Mike looked like, wrapping gifts.
Or not wrapping gifts.
Or not wrapping gifts, in a sense. And I just kept asking him, do you need help? No, no, I'm fine. Do we need to change the movie? No, because I've seen it. Okay, then. Yeah, he still had like 3 gifts while I was already done and starting Christmas cards already. And then I asked him, I was like, do you need me to take over? Yes, please. So.
I'm like the island of Hawaii because I run on my own time. You know, they talk about Hawaiian time, like, I'm on mic time.
Right. I think it was like 2 movies we turned on.
Oh, it was 3.
It was 3 movies that we've seen before that you still were.
Oh, that we've seen before, because as I say, we watched 4 Christmases, which is great. Mm-hmm. And then we put on Elf, and I sat and watched Elf. And then what did we put on after that?
Or was it just Klaus? Klaus? Klaus.
Oh, it was Klaus.
Did we sit down and watch? We sat down and watched Klaus.
Well, I sat down and fell asleep on the couch.
That's true.
As is the dad tradition.
Yes.
We had no kids in the house. They were sleeping over at grandma's, but mm-hmm. I still fell asleep on the couch.
That's funny. I know. I mean, we're excited. Yeah. It's Christmas. We're
excited to have those days off and then...
just have some family time.
And my Madden gifts unwrapped, so I got to find out what players I got.
Yeah. Woo! So excited.
See what I mean, people? You have to find what makes you happy. Because sometimes Rachel will make fun of you for being so invested in Madden, but it's what makes you happy, so you do it.
Yes, what makes you happy.
Yeah.
Anyways, but yeah, no, I think that's it. I think we're both excited for the same thing. We're both looking forward to the same thing.
I'm looking forward to going to bed at a decent hour on Christmas Eve.
Hopefully.
Because I think we actually have everything prepared.
Yeah.
So, should be good.
No 3 o'clock mornings.
Yeah. Oh, man. I mean, sometimes it's part of the fun, but this year I'm ready to just get a decent night's sleep. I still get excited, so I have a hard time sleeping, but...
it's understandable. Let's hope the boys stay in bed. They have been waking up really early, and when I mean really early, there is one day I caught David downstairs at 4:15 in the morning.
Yeah, I think what we should do this year is, I've seen on TikTok or whatever, parents wrapping the door to their kid's room.
Or like even the hallway.
Yeah, I think we should do that. Maybe we should do both. Maybe we should wrap their door, so then it'll give us time if we start to hear it, and then put another layer in the hallway.
Maybe we should do 3. Their door... the separation right before the stairs, and then the first step.
Wow.
Except I'm afraid if they go down, they're going to fall down the stairs.
Yeah. We'll at least do their door for sure.
Plus, it's fun.
Yeah.
So.
All right. I think that's it, yeah?
Yeah.
All right. From the Four Seasons Podcast, I'm Mike Oliver.
And I'm Rachel Oliver.
Enjoy the rest of your days.